But as I went to my office to start to study for this message, and I started to research some stuff that I wanted to know more about, just the kind of the general stuff in life, or just a general understanding of a topic or different things, I get on and I start to do some Google searching, and I find it interesting that one of the first things to come up was about the bubonic plague. I wasn't studying the bubonic plague, but it was one of the first things to come up. So just what I had been through, I was certainly, Dr. Google had just diagnosed me with the bubonic plague. That's what I took that as. So I stepped into the wormhole, so to speak. But about the bubonic plague, when the bubonic plague gripped Europe, you can push the button. When the bubonic plague gripped Europe in the Middle Ages, we don't have anything in the back. There you go. When the bubonic plague gripped Europe during the Middle Ages, the ships would be isolated in the harbor for 40 days before passengers could go ashore. And we're talking about the 1400s, 1500s. They would come in and they would make them stay. They would isolate them on the ship for 40 days before they could go on into land and on into whatever they were in Europe for. And I found it interesting as I read more about the bubonic plague, more than really what I wanted to know. And I'm fairly sure now that I don't have the bubonic plague. You know, I've just I kind of went and understand that I'm good. Okay, I don't have the bubonic plague. But I found it interesting that the Italian word for 40 is quantra. And you may not find that interesting, but I find that interesting because it's the base word for when we get quarantined. And so here's a 40 days you have to stay on the ship before you could go in to land and make sure you didn't have the bubonic plague. And you had to do that for 40 days. So 40, and that quanta, that 40 has come into our quarantine. And let me proclaim this morning to all of us, and maybe to at least some of us are going to leave. You're going to leave your quarantine today. You're going to leave your quarantine today. Today is your 40. This is your 40 today. You're going to leave the quarantine. You've been on the ship long enough. And I'm not talking about the bubonic plague, and I'm not talking about some other thing that's going on in my throat right now. I'm not talking about those things. I'm talking about the things that really keep us off of living life. Those things that God says, I want to free you from them. Come out of the quarantine. Come out of that way of life. And 40, we see in the Bible, is there always the next step. The next step, the 40 has prepared them for the next step. Jesus in the wilderness. Moses in his life is divided into three groups of 40. And in the wilderness, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights, they're ready to step into the new. They're ready to step into the new thing that's going on. And I think today is your 40. I think somebody is going to come out of their quarantine today. Somebody is going to step into this new life, or somebody's going to step into this new thing that God wants you to do. You've been there long enough. You've been in quarantine long enough. Thank you, honey. You've been in quarantine long enough. In Isaiah 40, which I find very interesting, in Isaiah 40, the transition from the first 39 chapters of Isaiah, and Isaiah 40 is the transition chapter. It's a chapter where they have been in quarantine, so to speak. They have been in captivity. They have been housed up. They have been trapped. They have been incarcerated, so to speak, for all of these years. And now God says, I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to bring you out of quarantine. I'm going to bring you out of where you have been. And I'm going to do a work in your life like you have never seen me do before. Oh, I think you know that what I want to do. And I think you think that where I want to take you. But it's a whole new thing. And I want to move you there. And I find it very interesting that transition happens in Isaiah 40. And God says, I'm going to do something in your life. I'm bringing you out of quarantine. Look what he says, comfort, comfort my people. You know what that means? You know what the word come, it's not lay down and rest yourself in my arms as much as is take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. Oh, my people, take a deep breath. Take a deep breath. I'm about ready to do something in your midst, and you're going to need to just take a deep breath. Sit back just for a minute and breathe deeply, because what you're going to hear is going to blow your mind. What you're going to hear is going to blow you out of the water. What you're going to hear is going to take you from step one to the place where I want you to go. So comfort my people, comfort, comfort. And when they repeat a word in the Bible, it means it amplifies it. It starts to amplify that word. So comfort, comfort, comfort my people. Take a deep breath, my people. Says yours, God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem and to proclaim to her that your hard service is done. It's time to move forward. In the heart, I'm going to move you out of where you're at, and I'm going to move you into a new way of life. Take a deep breath. Hear what I'm saying. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. You know what that means? He means come up to him and said, hang on. We're going to a whole new place.
Amen.
And he's whispering that in their ears. Hang on. Hang on. Take a deep breath. Because where I'm going to take you, you've never been before. I'm going to take you to new heights. I'm going to move you higher than you ever thought you could be. Comfort, comfort. Take a deep breath. It's changing today. And proclaim to her, her hard service has been completed, that her sins have been paid for, that she had received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. You know what that means? The door is open. That's what that means. The door is open, and I'm going to take you through it. Breathe strongly. The end is near. You have lived in bondage. They had lived in bondage for many, many years. They had been enslaved. They had been enslaved by their own sins. They had been enslaved by their parents' sins. They had been enslaved by their community's sins. They had been enslaved, and they were living in the repercussions of those sins. But today is not like any other day, God says. Today, new life. Today is not like any other day. This is not your normal everyday Sunday. This is a day when we're going to come out of quarantine. This is a day when God says, enough! You're coming off the boat! Today is the beginning of a new day. Today is the end of one thing and the beginning of another. Today will not be like last week. Today will not be like yesterday. Whatever has been tying you to the ground, today God's going to lift it up from you. Can I just say that just in a prophetic word this morning? Whatever has had you tied to the ground, today God's going to take you off the boat. God's going to take you, and he's going to lift you up. He's going to move you closer to him. He's going to unstraddle you, unstrangle you. He's going to take away those things that are pinning you to the ground, because today is your 40. Today is your coming out of quarantine. God is changing it today. Are you with me this morning? And I'm going to endeavor to preach this whole message. I might have to do the last half in sign language. But somebody needs to know here this morning that God is changing it today.
Amen.
It's today. He's not waiting until tomorrow. He's going to change it today. He's working today. And you need to know that today, that God is changing it today. Your God is changing it today. He's doing it today. He's doing it right now. He's doing it today. Your God is changing it today. He's taking you off the boat, daughter. Long enough on the boat. Today is a new day. He's untying you from what you've been tied to the ground with. This no longer will have you tethered to the ground. No longer will it be able to keep you in the boat. But because today is your 40. Because God is changing it today. I wish I could just look at the guy in the mirror and say, listen, would you just stop it? God is changing it today. I think so often I get used to living with something. And I get used to living just, that's just the way it was, or that's the way my family was, or that's the way the situation is, or that's just the way life is. And God says, I know that you know that, and I know that you believe that, but that's not always true. Because you think that today is going to be like your yesterday. It's not. Because today is your 40. Today you're coming out of quarantine. Continuing in the passage of Scripture, it says, the voice of one calling in the desert. And this is quoted in Matthew 3, relating it to John the Baptist and the coming of Christ. But look what it says for the truth for you and I this morning. It's not only proclaiming John the Baptist's coming. It's proclaiming this powerful about God who is doing it today, who is working in our lives today. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged place a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. You know what that means? That means that the truth that we're going to grasp this morning, that there is no wilderness that is confusing enough. There is no valley deep enough. There is no mountain high enough. There is no road rocky enough. Push the button. There is no country tough enough. Are you with me this morning? There is no wilderness. I don't know what wilderness you're in. I don't know what's got you tethered to the ground, but it's not mightier than your God. No wilderness is confusing enough. No valley is deep enough. No mountain is high enough. No road is rocky enough. No country tough enough. And no situation powerful enough to stop God. That's what that means. So don't tell me God can't change it today. Because whatever stands between you and where God wants to take you will submit to God. No matter how high your mountain is, no matter how deep your valley is, no matter how rough your road is, no matter what you've been through in life, no matter how many mistakes you've made, Israel, you got to hear me. I know you screwed up in the past. But that's not your today. Today is your day. Today you're coming out of quarantine. Today you're going to come off the boat. Today is your 40. And nothing can stop God. Nothing can stop your God. Wherever you're going, nothing can stop your God. Whatever's happening, nothing can stop your God. Whatever's going on, nothing can stop your God. Voice says, cry out. And I love Isaiah. Look what he says. I said, I hear a voice says, cry out. And I said, what should I say? Cry out. What? What do you want me to say, God? All men are like grasses. God, can you think of something a little better? And all their glory is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fail and the flowers fall. But the breath of the Lord, and when the breath of the Lord blows on them, surely the people are like grass. Tell them that they're like grass. Tell them they're so vulnerable. Tell them they're so messed up. Tell them that they're so weak. Tell them, Isaiah. Tell them that they're never gonna get there. But then look at, he says, grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever.
Amen.
Prophets say to them that they are weak, but I am strong. Say to them, they're looking at the valley, they're not looking at their God. Say to them that they're looking at their mountain, but they're not looking at their God. Say to them that they're looking at their rough spots and not at their God. Say to them, they're never going to get there by looking at their humanness. Say to them, Isaiah, say to them that your humanness falls short, but God. Push the button. Your humanness falls short, but God. You've worked hard enough. You've worked long enough. You've worked long enough to get out of where you're under. And God says, you're never going to get there on your own. You're never going to get there on your own. Your humanness is weak, but God. Your humanness is going to fail, but God. But God's going to do a work. Because today is your 40. Today you're coming off the boat. Today you're coming out of quarantine. Your humanness falls short, but God. In verse 9 says, you who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on the mountaintop. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice and shout. I love those passages. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. The prophet bring this good news. Shout. Shout it out loud. Shout it louder when the gathering of New Life gets together. Shout it. Shout it. Your God is in heaven. Your God is in the house. Your God is in the house. Listen, New Lifers. Your God is mighty. Your humanness is weak. But you're not only in a house with your humanness. You're in a house with your God. And he's saying, Isaiah, push the button. He's saying, Isaiah, you need to tell him their God is in the house. It's a new life. Your God is in the house. Lisa, your God is in the house. Your God is in the house. Your God is in the house. Continuing in the passage, it says this. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him. Do you know when this is being told to them? When they're still in the bondage, when they're still pinned to the ground. And Isaiah said, you need to know this because God's going to move you out. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power and his arms rule for him. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Not only is your God in the house, but your God comes with power and authority. And reward and care. I find it interesting, and I didn't make an acrostic out of this, but if you read that backwards as an acrostic, I think God's here to take you out of your crap. I didn't make that up, it's just the way it came out. So I don't have any brown emojis on these things. Or which I find very interesting, and I'll tell on Cheryl's mother. When she first saw the brown emojis, she thought there were chocolate chips, and so she was putting them on everybody's email. somewhat embarrassed when her daughters told her what they really were. But God comes with power. He's coming with that authority. See, God's not just in the house just waiting for something to happen. He's going to cause something to happen. Hang on, he's coming. With power and authority like you've never seen it before. Are you ready to move with your God? Push the button, please. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scale and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Who did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as if they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fire, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all nations are nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. To him, then, will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? For an idol? You've got to be kidding me. You got green pieces of paper with pictures of dead presidents on them, and you think they can do more than your God? What is wrong with you, he says.
God's awesome.
I come with authority. I come with power. I come with reward. I come with care. As for an idol, the craftsman cast it, and the goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood, and he hopes it won't rot. Can you imagine trying to choose a wood for your God that won't rot? He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not be toppled. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was formed? God sits enthroned on the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them. And they wither, and the whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One. What? Then he tells him this. Lift your eyes to the hills and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name because of his great power and might, mighty strength. Not one of them is missing. Sometimes life seems to get the upper hand on us. And sometimes our flesh feels like it's winning. And sometimes this world feels like it's winning. And sometimes the demonic wins the battle. But there's nothing more powerful than your God. Let me remind you, let me be reminded myself of how great and powerful and the magnitude of your God. Your God is bigger than any universe. Are you with me this morning? Your God is bigger than any universe. Your God is beyond your understanding. Your God is the unwavering counselor, and your God is fully enlightened, and your God is the right way, and your God is the all-knowing God, and your God is the revealer of the path that he wants you to walk on. We need to grasp the greatness of our God. Grasp the greatness of your God. God is worth more than you can ever afford. God is incomparable and without equal. God is outside the earthly limitations, and he's in your house. Are you with me this morning? And he's on your boat saying it's time to leave the boat because today is your 40. He's outside earthly limits, and he is the King of Kings. And he is the beginning and the conclusion. And your God is the creator and the completer. And your God is the giver of support. And your God is the reviver of your soul. Where are you at this morning? You need to grasp the greatness of your God. God is in the house. God says, today I am here. Today it's going to change. Today I'm going to do a work like you can't imagine that I'm going to do. It's changing today. Nothing can stop your God. Your humanness is all screwed up. Don't focus on your humanness. Don't focus on your humanness. Focus on your God. Amen. And your God is in the house, and he comes with power and authority and reward and care. We need to grasp the greatness of our God. I'll tell you what, New Life, if the church can't grasp the greatness of God, this world will never see the greatness of our God. The simple song is, how great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Then all will see. New Life, grasp the greatness of your God. Look what he says in 27. Why do you say, oh, New Life? Why do you complain, Ed? That my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God? Why do you say that? Why do you say that? God doesn't know what's going on in your life. Why do you think that God doesn't see what's going on? Why don't you see? Why do you think that God doesn't know your situation? He has no concern over your problems. Instead, I want to see the open door. I want to see the road ahead of me. I want to see, no matter how difficult that road may be, I don't know how mighty whatever's hooked me to the ground, however mighty that is, I want to see that losing because my God reigns. And I can know the greatness of my God. And he says, I think you need to do this. Push the button, please, on your 40. The impossible is possible. I'm saying it right now today. The impossible is possible. The impossible is possible. You believe me? See, we say that we do really well in church with that. But he's not just a church God, is he? I learned something with my sickness on Monday morning. I learned that God was in control of my sickness. Because Cheryl came down with a sickness on Friday, the Friday before. I had a funeral on Friday, and I wanted to preach on Sunday. And I said, God, I really wouldn't want to be sick. on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. He said, I'll meet you Monday morning. And he did. The impossible is possible. Because today is your 40. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Look in the continuing in the passage. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will never... He will not grow tired or weary. In his understanding, no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Will you receive his strength? Will you receive his power? Receive his power. Will you receive his power? Receive his power. Receive his power. Did you ever just stand in front of the mirror someday and just say this, I receive your power. See, I stand in front of the mirror and I say, God, if you would just take away this sickness and whine, complain, yak, yak, wah, wah, wah. And God says, you never just say, I receive your power. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Why is your God in the house? Why is your God bringing you off of quarantine? Because he wants you to soar like the wing on the wings of eagles. How about it, Julia? We had a great conversation about that this week. The reason he's taking you out of quarantine is so that you can run, that you can soar. And when you can't soar, you will run. And when you can't run, you will walk. But the idea is you're going to continue moving forward. Because your God's got something amazing for you. In the past, I have, but today I will. In the past, I have, but today I will. In the past, I have stumbled, but today I will walk. In the past, I have fallen, but today I will run. In the past, I have messed up, but today I will soar on the wings of eagles. Will you receive his power today? God says, it's changing today. Nothing could stop me. Your humanness falls short. We stop looking at your humanness because I'm your God. And I'm in your house. And I come with power and authority and reward and care. Grasp my greatness. The impossible is now possible. Receive his power. receive my power. I know in the past you have, but today you will. How about a new life? Thank you, Lord. God, thank you. Father, I truly believe that everyone in this room, you want to soar, want us to soar on the wings of eagles. You want us to run and not grow weary. And you want us to walk. If we need to walk, we'll walk. And when we can run, we'll run. And when we can fly, we'll fly. But we will always move forward with you. God, this is our 40. Today is our 40. Today we're coming off the boat. The bubonic plague no longer has a grip on us. Father, we're into this season of Christmas. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for the truth that's all over. And Lord, we can see, oh, there's stuff on Facebook. Who cares? We get so caught up sometimes on, well, is it the 25th of December? Who cares? The greatness of our God is in the house. So, Father, on this season that we focus in on Christ and his birth, Lord, help us to grasp and help us to receive the power to move out of our quarantine and into the life that you want us to live. No more excuses, God. I reject any excuse in the name of Jesus, because nothing that we can have for an excuse is bigger than you. I reject all failures in the past. I rebuke all lies that are rooted in us. I cast away any demonic stronghold on any lie. I pray that the lies would get back in the lie category and we would take them to the curb and we would set them out for the garbage guy. And I pray, God, that we would just take a deep breath and hear you say, today it's going to change. Father, I thank you for this season. I thank you for this body of believers. We're a ragtag bunch, but you're taking us to new high places. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.